Blom Blom with Skumba and Dumiso on Kaya TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Blom Blom. Yes! Finally, she's in the studio. We've been tracking her down for a very long time.
Oh, please.
She's busy. Sometimes she's doing a show from Netherlands. Sometimes she's high somewhere. Sometimes she's at the home. Sometimes she's just sitting with her dog. Ladies and gentlemen, the powerhouse, that is Khumutso Mazunyane, is in the studio with us. Shabunyan, sister. I'm great. Let's start simple. Why were you fired the first time? Why were you fired? Why were you fired at KFM? Because you guys didn't resign. You're fired.
Hey, we did not resign. It was the 22nd of December.
Yes.
Which was the last day of our shift.
Yes.
Okay. And we were told 2 weeks before with Hashem by Ankosh.
A skinny on thin ice.
Balik. And we'd already had problems where we'd been instructed not to come to work. And our lawyer said, hi, hambani na, hambani. Because they can't kick you out. You have to show up. And ultimately, on the 22nd, Greg was with us. You know, we're not happy. You're not happy. So let's just part ways.
This is making me so emotional already. 3 days before Christmas.
It was 3 days before Christmas.
You guys lost your jobs 3 days before Christmas.
Bona. So that's... And what were the reasons? Nonsense. Kibo like insubordination. Mina.
The whole Khumutso word.
The whole Khumutso. Insubordination.
Wow.
No, there was a charge sheet, you know, that obviously they could live with. And it was like, okay, fine. Okay.
And then you guys accepted and you're fired.
Sapumas landilana in the building. Our tails between our legs.
Sayo poos. But then, 10 years later.
Hey.
Hello.
And you're back 10 years later.
Bona, prime time again. So, wow. Bona, it's okay. You know what? And I remember the day I went home, and writer Leslie Loko was a neighbor of mine, and I was devastated because I was partly ashamed. I'd never been fired before. And it's just like, oh, girl, you've never been fired before. I've been fired from 8 jobs. You were not fired. You were sacked. Okay?
There's a difference.
You were sacked, girl. Second of all, any woman worth her salt has to be fired. Otherwise, it means you're just kowtowing to everybody. You are full of difference, and it's okay. So that made me feel a little better.
Your friendship with Mapolo is a strange one. Because first of all, both of you are highly opinionated,
mm-hmm.
and both of you are not well mentally.
That's true.
How did you guys meet Nomapolo and started being friends?
How did this interview become?
Don't worry about. Don't worry. You're not ready for this interview. When I relax.
Okay, Mapolo is like an spectator. You know, I started reading Mapolo's work on Thought Leader. When he was still blogging.
Yeah.
And then I went into the exclusive books one day. There were 2 books. Dark Continent, My Black Ass by Sihle
Khumalo.
Khumalo.
Yeah, yeah.
And Some of My Best Friends Are Black.
Some of My Best Friends Are White.
Oh, sorry. The other one. And I devoured them within a weekend. I contacted Mapoloba afterwards. I found his email. Ngati, dude, you are so gonna be my friend. And this one, I saw a video on his Facebook where Undabezita, may he rest in peace, the day they met, and what Undabezita said to him. What did he say to you?
He said to me after I signed my 3rd book, he came to my book signing, Eat, Drink, and Blame the Ancestors.
Right.
Afterwards, he said, oh, yeah, and by the way, you and I are going to be friends. And then I'm looking at this guy, and then he says, no, don't worry about it. You like me.
So he's just this style, and we are picky. Umapolo.
Wow.
And then Nayati, okay. Literally, that's how it began. And then we started hanging out, and we were so enamored by our own conversations. We're like, oh my God, we should do a show together. People should hear our conversation. Oh my God, we're so good. Oh, aren't we just so smart? And I called Greg. I said, hey, how about a show in the evenings, once a week, where we discuss this big issue?
Yeah.
Can men and women be friends?
Just friends.
We was like, let's do a show about relationships, a show where we explore such issues. And when Greg called back a few months later, he's like, I got a better idea.
Let's do the breakfast.
we're getting rid of somebody. Little did we know. Yes, I know. So please watch it. It happens. I mean, yeah. And that's the nature of radio. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're not. That's the nature of showbiz. You are lucky to be able to get the platform for as long as you do. And the thing is, radio changes.
Yeah.
All of us are going to finish our shifts at some point at Kaya FM. All of us. We may have to go to Jacaranda. I may have to go to
Kedi.
You have to go to Ukhozi. But I'm okay.
So now, I do not know it. Like so many, there's been so many eras in your life, right? Mm. I'll just jump to one era because I don't know how many people actually realize what an accomplished movie maker you are, and TV producer, and so on. And I remember we just met, and I remember seeing this thing on TV. This woman, she's in New York. What is she doing in New York? The Emmy Awards. Talk a little bit about the Tom Pictures.
Man, we had an amazing production company, Tom Pictures, which was Thorpe Omotosho Matsunyane.
Yes.
I used to joke that it was in order of height. Just like, I'm just lasting because it's just in order of height. And we did some incredible work. We did Sorted. Mm-hmm. We did a place called Home. We did Late Night with Komoto. And we did 4 feature films on which I was a co-producer. So our work was amazing. But then we did the terrible mistake of being political. And we were part of the leaders of the march because we were not being paid. Imagine you're not being paid and you're supposed to just shut up because the political principles don't want you to embarrass them. And anyway, you, shame. Yeah, this thing of firing. I just don't know when to shut up. That's my problem.
Yeah.
We would see somebody in the angati de tula homuto. Okay? Uskaita. Do not poo where you eat. I haven't let that lesson yet. I haven't met a bridge I never wanted to burn spectacularly. I'm a bridge worm.
Walk.
If people were to listen to off-air comments on Uncaptured, I know how many times I'm like, Nganam, how to let it go.
Because I'm going to be selling 1 minute to go and jump about all the way. Let's talk about family, sister. Time and already divorced.
Yes.
And you lost your father in 1997.
Yes.
And I was chilling with you when we were doing
the Avon walk,
and you were showing me pictures of Itaima, and I could see how proud you were of Itaima, and how you see him, you still see him as one of the greatest men that has ever lived in your life. How has losing him made you stronger and enjoying the times that you have spent with him?
The truth of the matter is, all of that feeling came late. Most of my life, I was angry with my father.
Mm.
I was so angry with him. And I felt very abandoned by him. And so, you know, when you're young and your parents just divorced, and I'd be like, let's phone dad.
Yeah.
And got no response, you know? So I grew up actually mad at him. So when he died, we hadn't really had the talk. We hadn't reconciled because Andina, you know? So it's all of my good feelings about him, unfortunately, came too late because I didn't give him the opportunity to be like,
aha.
Yeah. Oksalai.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're staying with this person who's really struggling to make ends meet. And, you know, it's tough to be a single mom. It is tough to be a single mom. So I think, and we've had the talk with my mom, so it's nothing embarrassing about maybe some things you shouldn't have told me about.
About the time.
Yeah. You know, maybe you shouldn't have spoken badly about him. It's like, I was so angry, I didn't have anybody to talk to. I get it, but it's also affected how I felt about the man, and now I don't have time to sort of go fix it. I'm not blaming anybody for anything. I take all responsibility for all the choices that I've ever made. So I guess in later life, I commune with him. I tried to have a better relationship. I started thinking of my father as a human being.
Yes, that's why I say
not just as a father.
Because when you talk about him, to me, he was around. He was a guy that we can call anytime and say, hey, pelabukum nandi fandakengtol.
And so I grew up without him a lot. But what's fascinating is that my brother and my mother say that I am the one who's most like him, which is really weird.
Yeah, because it looks like your pride. Like, it looks
Kure, twins.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like you and your little son. Oh my God. Oh. Wait, see, ungati begampiga. That child is like a carbon copy. So now it's like you almost like you look at him and it's like he's reminding me of my father in so many ways. He looks like him. And I, in the same way that that you look at your son, and I'm sure you'd be like, how the hell did this happen? It's quite a thing of wonder.
Crazy, man. It's
a thing of wonder. So it's a weird thing trying to reconcile with somebody who's no longer alive. But it has been the best release for me because I realized how much hurt I was carrying in my heart, and it made me a nasty person.
You know, you've had so many lives, like I said, eras, and we're just going to jump from one to the other. There's also this phase, right? You are the first blacks to go to MoMA private school, and then off to the US,
right?
Come back with a husband. All you have now is just Baton the dog, and if you watch it on Kai TV, you'll see Baton is he's on TV right now. This is your little what breed is Baton, by the way?
He's a Pomeranian.
A Pomeranian.
Yes.
So talking about that particular era, just take us through that era, because it coincided with 25 years ago as well.
Which era, sorry? Stop undressing me.
This is the US era.
Okay, yes. So I'm 17 years old. I'm a Rotary Youth Exchange Scholar.
Yeah.
And my mom says that I was the kind of kid who would just bring a form. Sign. She never had to apply for university for me. She never had to apply for me to go overseas. I did that on my own. And then I'd come like, okay, I don't know how we're going to find the money. So I was very ambitious. I was reading a tribute magazine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I just thought I'm going to be in that 10% of W.E. Du Bois of like the arrived blacks, you know, in order to get the rest of our people out. So I go to the States and I discover a new side of myself. I'm 17 years old. Nelson Mandela was released a month after I arrived in the United States. And I remember people were asking me, do you think they're going to release him? Are they going to release him? Do you know what I said? No. I said, not in my lifetime.
And a month later, I was out.
I was a liar.
You lied. In the U.S., as I'm growing up, I saw it. USA.
I'm watching Nelson and Winnie Mandela walking out of prison. I'm watching the TV on the floor and just bawling my eyes out. And so for me, it was always obvious I was coming back home.
Yeah.
I never, every time we meet a boyfriend, like, but you know I'm going home, but you know I'm going home. Which is what happened with my ex-husband. I'm like, whatever happens, know that I'm going home. So I came back home and started a new career.
Talking about careers, right now, I got an invite from you a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you did get it?
Yeah, I got an invite.
Oh, wow.
I don't respond to messages.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. First of all, because Uskumba and Khumoto Miso embarrassed me at the Liberty Awards. I had not invited me to them to my birthday. Bang,
Saza, bang. No, but you didn't.
Yeah. When I okay, when I know Kenya's pants are being invited.
No. That is very personal. That is just me and my connection. It was my connection with my people. We have nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with buildings and opening of buildings and businesses. We'll talk about your business right now. What are you working on, sister?
I have bought a building in Selby, which I hope to convert. It's already a studio. It's got studios upstairs, photographic, sound, and a dance studio to do Pilates, self-defense classes. And then downstairs is a very big space that can be rented out, which I'm going to turn into a co-working environment and a little coffee shop. You can bring your laptop there.
Sure.
And the most proudest aspect that I have of this particular thing is that I'm in partnership with Mampa Pramasekela to build we want to build the National Women's or Feminist Library. Okay, so we're starting with a little satellite one in my building in Selby, and by the time we finish, we want to enable anybody in any community to have a blueprint and a template of how to open a feminist library in your own neighborhood who you can name after the phenomenal woman in your lives. Why feminism? Because women are not given the credit that is due to us.
Sure.
We need to rewrite history in the same way that we talk about decolonization. We need to be depatriarching the system, essentially. Women are people's wives. Meanwhile, we talk about John Langalibalele Dube.
Yes,
his wife, his first wife, traveled to the United States with him, helped him establish the schools, the school and the newspaper, but she doesn't get credit.
Not even a mention.
Not even a mention. Only now. We have to address that when we say, is it Ohlange?
Ohlange
school. was started by John Dube and Nokutela Dube, you know? So it's like rewriting history to give women the space that we deserve. People are like saying, oh, women can now do this. Women can now do
this. And women have been doing these too.
Since day one. Since day one. So don't get it in your head that, oh, women were not working before. When were we not working? Is tilling the land not working? Is that not the most important job?
That is work.
And the thing about it is, so it's just about our work is not monetized and it's not professionalized. All right, it's like, because, oh, God knows, women are supposed to value children so much that all you want to do is sit at home and of course, it's not work. You know, abantwana umsebenzi.
Mina ukushuthile umsebenzi wethu ungena sithi hello papa. Kuze qaba uzubaba bakushayile bakhlisile namhlanje. Ugezile. Uthe kumama kutheni ngami, umama kutheni ngami, umama kutheni ngami. Uba nofanele umama khemini.
Basically,
that's why.
Letla lidi di steering.
Yes.
Men utla steering, but women are there all the time. And it's the hardest job in the world that you don't get paid for. So I'm just saying, and you can come to the library, Skumba, and write a story about your mother, because we're also compiling sort of like a Wikipedia of African women.
I want to write a story about the new sister that's a girl's Sisto.
Please tell me about Sisto.
Sisto, we don't have time, but Sisto was that lady that will wake up a few chin stoops again without your permission. That's why. It's only 210 grand per I'll be right. So if you needed someone to be hands on in
right,
what you're doing,
right.
She was that woman. And when she passed on, which was great.
Wow.
So it's those women that, and like Gwake was the corner where Skulele Khona, where and it was one of the houses where they didn't have anything, but it was a home.
Yes.
And like, about, like they didn't have a lot. They didn't even have a TV show. We're there every day.
Right.
So it's those women that we need to recognize and write about and talk about and people know. Sister, I really wish you had more time. But I just want to say we celebrate you and we love you. And yes, people can catch you Monday to Thursday, 3 to 5, Noma Poloba. You are the first person that gave me water at the BET concert that was happening here. And no one was taking care of me backstage.
Really?
She came and gave me water. Like, we know Kuruma backstage. That's what.
And I'm like, I don't even remember that.
So you are the only person that came backstage. Aww. When everyone was taking care of Mary J. Blige. One guy pulled your lamas at Bambam Vandam. Pose. Sharp sister.
If you missed the live stream, watch the full episode on kayatv.co.za right now.